Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to TalkSport 2 and highlights of the third T20 International between South Africa and England at Cape Town. Don't forget, you can hear live and exclusive match commentary of the first ODI between the two sides this Friday from 10 a.m. here on TalkSport 2. But without further ado, let's bring you the action.
South Africa did actually win the toss and have chosen to bat first. Owen Morgan would have chased. It was perhaps Quentin de Kock's body language, having won the toss, that fooled us all into thinking that he'd lost yet another one, but in fact he did win it. Pleased to say that Alfonso Thomas and Alex Tudor are here with me. Gentlemen, what do you make of the fact, Alex, I'll go to you first. First of all, that England are unchanged in this third game. No place for Moeen Ali on a used pitch, no place for Mark Wood in the side either.
Yeah, afternoon everybody. Yeah, a little surprised, Butch. If I was Owen Morgan, which I'm not, a World Cup winning captain, never had been. But I think I would have liked to have maybe see a few individuals, you know, Sam Billings and Reece Topley and these guys just getting a go. And as you say, Moeen Ali, you at some stage you have to see how these guys are performing. It's all well and good. Yes, we have a very good side and he sort of is trying to formulate his 11. But it's going to be times in tournament play where certain individuals either get injured, ill, or a little bit of misplaced form, and you're going to have to throw one of these guys in. And if they're coming in cold, it can be sometimes difficult. But Owen Morgan is his own man, and I think he's saying, listen, I'm not giving caps away. You're going to have to earn it. And he's quite comfortable with the 11 that is out there. It's an exciting 11. We're very lucky and blessed that we get to watch these guys on a regular basis. And you know, it's not the days when we were playing, Butch, was it? When we were basically useless. And these guys are very, very good. And, you know, every time they go out there, they just find a way. Even, you know, in those games, the last one, there's just something in you thinking they're going to get over the line. And in previous years gone by, England most probably lose those games. But Owen Morgan has got these guys playing very, very good cricket. And as you say, it's a misfortune for the guys that are missing out. Moeen Ali, Billings, Wood and Topley. But they're just going to have to wait their chance.
They certainly are, and take it when it comes along. On the other hand, though, Alfonso, I mean, all kinds of difficulties for Quentin de Kock. He'll point to the fact that he's run England close in these first two games. But illness, injury, Alex Tudor just mentioned them. That's what's happened to Henrik Claassen. He's out ill. Kagiso Rabada is injured. South Africa have to roll the dice again and change the 11 yet again.
Hi, Butch. Good afternoon, listeners. I think Mr. de Kock is kidding himself. You know, it's certainly... There's a couple of changes. I'm quite excited to see Sapamla. I know people back home talk very highly of him. And then they've obviously opted to rest Rabada for this. Piet van Bouillon gets another go at it. I would like to see Faf staying at three because I think between him and de Kock, you know, they are the sort of leaders of a batting lineup. So I think I'm just not happy with Faf coming in at number four during the game on Sunday in Paul. So I would like Quinton de Kock to open with Themba Bavuma, who he needs a score definitely. Faf at three, and then I would leave it open to Van der Dussen, Van Bouillon, and then you also got Hendricks there.
Yeah, what What about them batting first? Again, they've set targets in the first two games and not particularly convincingly, and have lost them both with England rampant chasing. And they've decided to go the same way again on a used pitch.
Yeah, you can sort of understand that. I would imagine that would bring in their that would bring in Shamsi, and it'll obviously bring in George Linder as well. So I can, I can certainly understand the thinking there. But I think the key for me is going to be either De Kock or Du Plessis to go and get them that 80, you know, just to put a good score on the board, and hopefully the bowlers can then defend that.
179 wasn't enough on the same surface on Friday. Have you been impressed, Alex Tudor, with Johnny Bairstow and David Malan in these first two games? We've had difficulty with South Africa putting runs on the board, but not so England, and it's coming from different quarters.
Yeah, that's right. Johnny Bairstow's a phenomenal player, and it looked like he was batting on a different track. There was a time when he was batting with Ben Stokes, and Ben Stokes was struggling a little bit, even though he got 37 off 27. But Johnny Bairstow just looked like he just read the pitch extremely well, and he just had time, and good players always have time, and he was able to pounce anything that's short, anything that was full. And he's just punishing, you know, as I said, these guys, and I keep harping on about it, how, you know, devastating they are. They clear the boundary when they win. When they want to hit that six boundary, they pretty much do it 80% of the time. And, you know, David Malan just keeps getting runs. You know, he's in there, and he's in there on merit. And people are saying, you know, how you get Joe Root and stuff in. But it's difficult, and he keeps getting runs, and he's saying, try and get me out of the side.
Yeah, well, funny you should say that, because England's man of the match in the second T20 says composure is the key in chasing down any total, and here he is.
That's one of my strengths. I try to stay in the moment. I try not to look too far ahead or what's happened. If I start looking at what my strike rate is and where I'm at, you know, I lose touch of the game. I lose sight of what's happening in the game. So, you know, I look at what is what's required, whether we need a big over, who's the guy to take down, and back myself. When I get to that, then I'll be able to do it. Obviously, if I get out, I've obviously stuffed the game up a little bit, but you know, I back myself with the amount of cricket that I played in 2020 cricket, the experience that I have, to be able to do that when it's needed.
Okay, we're just about ready for the national anthems. David Malan, coming into the series, was perhaps a little bit modest in terms of his position in the side, saying he still had to play for it. Well, I think he's nailed it down now.
We've had a chance to look at both ends now, and Quinton de Kock is going to play that flip that he gets inside the line to Sam Curran's delivery. He will play it to Jofra Archer, who is at short fine leg inside the 30-metre circle. Temba Bavuma was very quickly saying, yes, yes, let's take a single. Quinton de Kock wasn't quite balanced, so it took him a while to get going. Archer throws to the non-striker's end, but they do indeed get that single safely enough.
Yeah, just bowled a little bit of a cutter there with Sam Curran. It's like he, because it was sort of a flip, he was on his back foot a little bit, so it took him a while to get going. And if it was a direct hit, he was out.
Bavuma pulls Curran on this occasion, and mid-wicket is inside the 30-metre circle. The sweeper is not square on the leg side, and that will go away for a four. Bavuma has 7 from 10, and Sam Curran has started his second over, single and four, and now has 0 for 9. As he was basically looking for the badge on Bavuma's helmet there, and it disappeared for four. Quinton de Kock is the man on strike to Jofra Archer. Archer's third ball of his second over, making his way in from the pavilion end. Quinton de Kock is just dropping that into his feet in the crease, and there's no run. Jofra Archer goes through, plays a little bit of football himself, and there is no run.
It's good bowling this, Mac. He's not giving him any room. That sort of waist height, keeping it tight, close, at good pace. Hasn't got to 90 yet, but sort of 86, 87 miles per hour is quick enough, and he's hitting the bat, so to speak.
Johnny Bairstow is stationed as the square leg on the boundary if Quinton de Kock wants to take this on. Quinton de Kock is going to take this on. He's going to step across his stumps and flip it over, and I think that ball lands just inside the rope. It's a beautiful shot from Quinton de Kock. It's the first time he's really played with much attacking intent. He moves to 9. He just shuffles across his stumps, helps it on its way, because there's plenty of real estate out there. And he hit it so well, it wouldn't have mattered really if there was a fielder there anyway. 4 run, Jordan back around. That is straight to Quinton de Kock, has gone for this one. He's got underneath it a bit. He's got nowhere near all of it. And Tom Curran will take the catch on the edge of the 30-metre circle at mid-on. And Quinton de Kock goes, and Chris Jordan has his moment. He is now officially England's leading T20 international wicket taker. What a one to get. Quinton de Kock, the danger man of the opposition, the captain of the opposition. It's the first of the afternoon. South Africa 34-1.
And that's quality fast bowling. That's a slower ball, the ball before, and outfoxed him. And with that one, 86 miles an hour, a little bit more juice on the delivery, Macca. And it was done. It was good for Quinton de Kock. Let me tell you, he's a fine player. But it done for him. He tried to hit it downtown, got too much on it, went up. Tom Curran just running around, taking the easy catch. And as you rightly said, really happy for Chris Jordan, leading wicket taking T20 cricket for England.
Bavuma will face Jordan. It's a slower ball, dug into the pitch. Hits a Stokes a cover, throws at the non-striker's end. And if that hits, Bavuma is out, I reckon, because he didn't have that far to go. But we saw with Ben Stokes, he's never out of the game on Sunday. He misfielded the same ball twice at one stage and still affected a run out in Parley. He is so dangerous, and I thought he was in business again.
Action Jackson, that's what I'm going to call him now. Carl Weathers, he's all over the place, isn't he, Ben Stokes? He's fantastic. Thought the ball had gone past him. He's gone with reverse hands and then swiveled in one motion. And if that was hit, Bavuma could have carried on running back to the pavilion. Fantastic cricket from Ben Stokes, and that's why he's so exciting.
We often use the phrase in commentary that he wasn't in the picture, Bavuma, in that case. He genuinely wasn't in the picture. He was that far out. Oh, Hendricks, first ball to Jordan. He's got himself in a tangle. It's gone down to... Well, it was heading to short, fine leg. Butler will intercept. He scurried up to the non-striker's end for a single. Butler throws at the non-striker's end. He was almost outplayed on and almost outrun out in the same delivery. Curran, right arm over. Edged! Oh! Joss Butler, I think, got fingertips of that one. That was almost full Superman extension away to his right-hand side. There's a lot of hands on heads. Reeza Hendricks has a boundary four. South Africa go to 44-1. But Joss Butler has got close, I reckon, to pulling off an absolute worldie. My eye goes to the replay. He's going away to his right-hand side. He's got the end of the index finger on that one. And you know what? It might not have been as far away from him as I first thought. It's a good attempt. But knowing the standards these guys set themselves, Joss Butler's going to be disappointed not to pull that one in.
That has absolutely flown off the bat.
Hendricks is in behind this one, pushing it back to mid-off. Curran can't field in his follow-through. Six overs done for the innings. And South Africa 44-1. So that is the power play done and dusted.
Eyes on Adil Rashid's right hand, and he stays in his crease. Drop kick this one a long, long way back into the building site over wide long on. It's maximum to Themba Bavuma. Little man, but it's a hit. A long, long ball, and that's the 50 up for South Africa. 52-1 from seven.
That was a fantastic shot by Themba.
Stokes is into him once more. Slower ball this time. Bavuma waits on it and drills it down the ground to Joffre Archer at long on. Stokes is not happy. Apologies if you heard any untoward language from the stump mics there, but I think Joffre Archer perhaps was very wide at long on. The ball just went down to what you would imagine to be an orthodox long on position, and you were just expecting the fielder to jog in, pick it up and throw it in. But Joffre Archer was nowhere to be seen, and South Africa came back for a comfortable two, and well, as you heard, Stokes not impressed. He's in now to Bavuma, who has just lobbed an easy catch. The simplest of catches. He will not be making 70 or 80 and giving South Africa something to build around, because he has just given the softest of dismissals to Chris Jordan inside the circle at mid-off. Ben Stokes perhaps not quite so angry with Joffre Archer now, because it's brought in the wicket of Themba Bavuma, and South Africa are 61 for two. And once more, extra cover is in play. Hendricks times it well enough, but hits it straight at the man. Gets Owen Morgan in there at extra cover. And there is no run once more. This is, we're having a chat before we came on air about the coal tax situation with South Africa. It's something that you know all about, Alfonso. We'll
Thanks,
get to
Butch.
That in a second. Nicked out. And caught. Slower ball from Stokes. A waft outside the off stump from Hendricks. Butler had to dive forward as the ball died on his way to him behind the stumps, but he catches it cleanly enough, and another non-expansive and non-consequential innings from Reeza Hendricks is over. He goes for 13, And South Africa are now 64 for 3. Van der Dusen pulls, it's uppish. It's gone a long, long way up onto the grass bank. That would normally be covered by supporters in various states of clothedness. But as it is today, it lands on its own on the bank. And it's a six. And South Africa have just suddenly got things moving in Ben Stokes' third over. 84 for 3 now the score. Rashid is in. It's a pull sweep square, or just in front of square, and it's been fiercely struck by Rassie van der Dusen. That takes him on to 16. South Africa to 89 for 3. And just in the last six or seven deliveries, South Africa have begun to find the boundary.
And he's looking dangerous, Butch van der Dusen. He's just stamping his authority. He's punishing the bad ball, and he just went down on one knee. And Johnny Bairstow at deep square had no chance, really. It was a valiant attempt.
Jordan in. Faf du Plessis is waiting. Weight on the back foot. Ball's round about the off stump. It's hit straight to Sam Curran, sweeping on the offside. And again, it's just another single. Faf du Plessis goes to 20 from 23. And it's 103 for 3.
Yeah, just sort of looking at the current, if they at this, you know, 6.94, they're going to get sort of 139. If they go at 8s, 144. Anything above 10s gives them a chance, an opportunity.
Final ball of the over from Chris Jordan, and he's five singles so far. It is a low full toss to Rassie van der Dusen. He's done well. He's done really well. He's got it through wide, long on, and Ben Stokes can't get around and cut that one off, and they finish with a boundary four that suddenly means it's nine off the over. And what was a cracking over from England's point of view suddenly goes to the South Africans. 107 for 3 after 15 overs.
How many times do we see that? The last ball of the delivery is like, get out of your over, and it goes for a boundary. It's so frustrating. As you say, for Chris Jordan, it was looking good. Just singles. You're happy with that, especially in T20 cricket. I'm always saying, if you don't go for double figures, you've done well. You'd be just a little bit disappointed.
So it's over number 16, and Tom Curran's going to bowl his second. England have used six bowlers, so Adil Rashid is the only one who's bowled his four so far. 0 for 20, and therefore Owen Morgan can shuffle his bowlers around as he see fits for the remainder of the innings. Curran is going to go in and bowls to Faf du Plessis. Faf du Plessis hits back straight over the bowler's head. He's got a long way underneath this. Has he got enough of it? Yes, he has. It will go all the way for six. That has travelled a long, long way in terms of metres, because a great many of them were vertical rather than horizontal. That ball has travelled a long, long way. Tom Curran, welcome back to the bowling crease. Faf du Plessis sends him straight back over his head for six. What a shot. Curran, right arm over. Faf du Plessis, it's a slower one. He waits on this. Hits hard down to Stokes at mid-on. Two bounces to Stokes, who sends in the return. Single taken to bring up a 50 partnership. 50 from 36 balls faced between van der Dusen and Faf du Plessis, and they've both contributed half of those, 25 apiece in those 36 balls. Final ball of the 16th from Tom Curran. Faf du Plessis gets this one in the wheelhouse, swings it into the leg side, and that lands about 10 rows back in the seats. Tom Curran has gone for two sixes in the over, and South Africa have hit the accelerator button. 16 overs gone, 123 for 3.
That's a fantastic cricket shot, and again, you're trying to get yourself out of the over, and it's gone for a boundary. It happens so many times. It's a cross-seam delivery, and Faf has sort of just gone leg side a little bit, and the ball followed him, and he's just swiveled very nicely off that front foot and had the bat sort of facing upwards, and it had enough on it to carry all the way about 10, 12 rows back into the stands. Fantastic cricket shot.
Well, we're going to bring in Alfonso into it. We'll shuffle up a bit, make some space for Alfonso to join the commentary for the final few overs of this one. Just some thoughts about Tom Curran in this series. 1 for 55 on Friday in the first game at Cape Town from 4 overs. 1 for 37 from 4. He's now bowled 2 overs that have gone for 24 this evening. Look, it is the lot of a bowler in one day international cricket and T20 cricket. You can go for a few, but Just get some thoughts on his performance in a minute. Jofra Archer starts the new over. Razi van der Dusen has decided he's joining the party as well. He's put Jofra Archer over mid-wicket for six. It lands only a couple of metres over the rope, but it doesn't matter whether it's 20 metres over or 2 metres over. They still count for six. And he's got another one to add to the total. And that's 129 for three for South Africa. Archer is in.
Shot.
Van der Dusen has climbed into this one into the leg side, and again, if there were crowds in Newlands, that would be a souvenir for someone. Van der Dusen has taken this on. He has hit Jofra Archer 6-4-4, no score, 6. And Razi van der Dusen is piling on the runs.
Both Faf and Van der Dusen batting extremely well.
48 not out he is as he takes a short ball on from Archer. They're going to take one. Are they going to take on the arm of Milan? Come back for the second. Yes, they will, and they will make it. And Razi van der Dusen has a 50. A very well played 50. He'd got 37 and 25 not out in the series. In the first two games, he has got himself a 50. His third T20 international 50. And he's actually only 14 runs away from his highest score in this form of the game. So with three overs to go, 145 for three, 17 gone South Africa. Jordan goes in. Faf du Plessis has climbed into this one. He has sent the ball many a mile. It is another six for the innings. It's six that takes Faf du Plessis to 39. The South African 150 is up. They are 151 for three. The first ball of the 18th over. 8 balls of the innings to go. Faf du Plessis, 44 not out from 35. Swings at this one over mid-off, and that will go away for four. It was there to be hit, and Faf du Plessis did so. The 100 partnership is up 103 from 59 balls. Faf du Plessis has 48 from 36, and South Africa now 167 for three with 7 balls of the innings to go. Remember, the par score in day-night games, or average batting first in day-night games at Newlands, is 158. So, Alfonso, as you mentioned, South Africa are already above par with 7 balls to add.
It just shows you what could have been if Faf du Plessis came in at 3.
He's not going to let this one go, folks.
He's not, is he? But again, it's that width, isn't it, Alfonso? He's just giving him that width. The ball's just tailing away. Maybe Sam needs to hold it across the seam. But as I said, I would like to see him come round the wicket and tuck him up.
Absolutely. And that's Faf's area. Extra cover long off.
Final ball from Curran. He's staying over the wicket. Faf du Plessis gets a full toss. He's opened the face and guided it past the man at short third man. And it will go away for four. And Faf du Plessis has a half century. 52 from 37 deliveries for Faf du Plessis. That is his 10th 50 in T20 International. Well, it's going to be Chris Jordan for the final over. Van der Dusen is the man on strike. Jordan starts him with a low full toss, roundabout shin height. It's been hit through square leg. It's one bounce away for four, and that bounce was only a couple of metres in from the edge of the rope. For a second, that looked like it was travelling the distance as well. Van der Dusen has found the middle of the bat with regularity in this innings, and South Africa continue to pile on the runs. 175 for three.
He's just again missed his Yorker by a couple of inches. Low full toss, and the bottom end of Razi van der Dusen enables him to hit it over square leg for four.
Raining
Jordan
boundaries.
Under the pump. Jordan, yeah. Under the pump.
He is, yeah. First ball going for a boundary. It's under pressure. Has to try and get out of it well. You're looking at 190 possibly.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
South Africa 2-0 down, series gone, looking to avoid the clean sweep. This one's about pride as much as anything else, and we've seen plenty of that in the last hour or so. Van der Dussen, as Jordan goes in, launches him back over his head, it's into the stands again! 4-6 to start the over, and Van der Dussen has 64 to his name. 181 for three at South Africa, and the runs are flowing.
That's a shot of the evening for me. That takes me back to watching a certain Herschel Gibbs at Newlands. Just on bended knee, overlong of great hands.
Does Van der Dussen bluff? Counter bluff? What does Jordan do? He goes in, past the umpire. Van der Dussen swings hard, back over Jordan's head. That's got huge hang time. That's air Jordan. And Van der Dussen goes to 72. His second six in the over. 189 for three.
What a blow. What a hit. Straight as a die.
This has been fabulous, fabulous cricket. Final ball of the innings. Razzie van der Dussen, 72 from 31 balls faced, will face Chris Jordan. Jordan gives him a bouncer. Van der Dussen gets it into the leg side and is brilliantly caught, but no, not held. Sam Curran has gone full length at backwards square leg, thought he was going to fall over the rope, so has tried to flip it onto his teammate, who is on the boundary at mid-wicket. I can't make out who that is, but unfortunately, he couldn't flip the ball hard enough to complete the catch. Therefore, the batsmen have scurried back for two. That means South Africa post 191 for three. In fairness, that ball was there to be hit leg side, which is what Van der Dussen did. It's the catch is taken by Sam Curran, but he knows he's getting close to that advertising foam. He takes one step and realises, I've got a problem. Tries to therefore flip it up, but he can't get enough on it to get it to Jofra Archer, who was coming around. So therefore, the catch isn't completed. 191 for three for South Africa. Infinitely their best score of this series so far. Sam Curran, 0 for 35 from 3. Jofra Archer, 0 for 44 from 4 overs. It's 1 for 42 for Chris Jordan from his 4. Tom Curran's 2 overs cost him 24. Adil Rashid, 0 for 20 from his 4 overs. And Ben Stokes, 3 overs, 2 for 26. Well, gentlemen, let's analyse that one. Let's start, first of all, Alex Tudor, by rewinding the clock. And Chris Jordan, we need to talk about the first half of his bowling rather than the second half, because he did, earlier on today, take a wicket that means he is now England's highest one-day T20 international wicket taker. We need to reflect on that as he goes past Stuart Broad and therefore goes into the standings on his own, as he now has 66 international wickets.
Yeah, really happy for him. As you said, known him as a 17-year-old when he first joined Surrey and knew then that he was going to go on to great things, and he's been phenomenal for England. That consistency, you know, to get that many wickets, you have to be consistent with your fitness and playing in the side, and he's done that. So congratulate him on that. I think he'll most probably take that away for the last couple of overs. I mean, it's been an absolute run fest for the last 10 overs with Van der Dussen and Faf du Plessis. I mean, 127 was their partnership off 10.3 overs. It's just violent and well-orchestrated runs. It didn't start off that way, but as they got into that partnership, they just found their way, saw what the pitch was doing, where the bowlers were trying to bowl it, and dispatched it to all parts of the Newlands ground. Phenomenal batting, and as I said, at 14.2 overs, I know I keep going on, but they were on 100. I was saying if they get to 150, you know, England going to have to bat well to get it, because the wicket is not quick. They're mixing up their pace. I mean, 191 if England get anywhere near that, we've got a hell of a game on air tonight. I wouldn't want to miss that. You need to tune in, people.
Absolutely. Well, Alfonso, I mean, Alex makes a great point. 66 for three in the first half, 125 without loss in the second half of the innings. That, Razzie van der Dussen and Faf du Plessis have been absolutely brilliant there, haven't they?
Oh, no, they have been fantastic. But it just shows you again, it is not rocket science. You know, if you have guys in that top order that can bat through, like we saw in the first game with Johnny Bairstow doing it, like we saw in the second game, David Malan doing it for England. You know, if you can get one of that top four to go and kick on, and the bonus here for the Proteas was they had two guys set at the back end, and it just shows you what can happen. You know, for me, going into the second innings, as we saw, you know, the key for me is how they can get out of that power play, not conceding too many runs. And then no doubt they're going to throw it over to George Linder and Tobray Shamsie to hopefully turn the game South Africa's way.
Just while we're talking teams, anyone who wasn't with us when we started at 4 o'clock, England were unchanged. South Africa made two changes to their side. And the significance of that, Alfonso, there was a lot of talk after the game in Paarl in the fact that South Africa went in with only five bowlers. And in a 20-over game where you can only bowl four overs, therefore they all had to bowl their allocation. Here, there are six genuine bowlers. And England have used six bowlers in this situation, and it means that if someone does get a bit of tap, you don't have to keep going back to them and risking them getting flogged. Do you see this as a better balanced South African attack and an attack that could defend this total?
I definitely would have liked to have seen Rabada in there, because I think with him not playing now, that evens out a little bit and he probably gives you that 10 runs extra. You know, so I think the fact that he isn't playing will certainly not help the South African cause, because you're then hoping that Anrich Nortje, Ngidi, Shamsie and George Linder holding the key, and then you're looking at Sapamlo, who's a young kid who no doubt the guys will target him.
Well, if you weren't with us earlier on, that there's something else that's been confirmed. Rabada not involved today, as he picked up what was called a niggle at the toss about 5 minutes after the game had started. It was actually confirmed. He's out of the entire one-day international series, which starts on Friday, as it's going to take at least 3 weeks for him to recover. And we play all of the one-day internationals in the space of 6 days. So he hasn't got a chance of being involved in those. Alex Tudor, from an England point of view, well, Owen Morgan had rated their performances so far as average at best. They're going to have to be a bit more than average to chase this one down.
I'll tell you one thing. My boy Jason Roy is going to need some runs. He's got some runs to go and score tonight. And he's going to have a good start. England going to have a good partnership at the start. I mean, listen, England bat long. I mean, you've got Rashid, who's got 11, 12 first-class hundreds coming at number 11. But they're going to have to, as Alfonso says, it's not going to be easy against Shamsie and Lindy, because they bowled extremely well. And as you said, pace off the ball. But it's a challenge. And Owen Morgan likes challenges for this England T20 team. And they've thrown one up for tonight. And as you said, if England get anywhere near this, we're going to have an absolute classic here on Sky on TalkSport here tonight.
So the second innings is coming up shortly. 192 is what England are looking to chase. That is just over 9.5 and over.
Quinton de Kock behind the stumps, but that should come as little surprise to those who know him. He's at number 27, Linder is in. And oh, that's been hit beautifully. Jason Roy, half a step down the ground and has absolutely mullered that down the ground, straight back over the bowler's head. Towering six for Roy, and he's won the battle for now. 18 without loss from three. As Nokia is in again, seam angle towards the leg side. Oh, that's straight, and it's full, and it's gone.
Out.
Umpire Jelly gets the finger up. Jason Roy might think about reviewing this, but I think he's gone. That's beaten him for pace. It was quick, the ball was fuller, and I think that it's going to knock leg stump out of the ground. And I think Josh Butler agrees with me.
Just looks as if it could be an umpire's call, even if it does refer it. It's probably hitting leg stump on umpire's call I'm going to go for. Let's see if I'm right, if I can make a good umpire.
See if either of us have anywhere near getting our white coats on. I think that's out. I reckon that's hit. Three quarters of the way up leg stump, and has sent it cartwheeling back towards Quinton de Kock. was a quick delivery. Nokia, for the first time really in the innings, has gone fuller than back of a length. And it was quick, it was straight, and it was good enough for Jason Roy. He's gone for 16, and England have lost their first with a score on 25. Lungi Ngidi is into the attack for the final over the power play. And that's hit Milan on the shins. It umpire has given him out, but I think that's pitched outside the leg stump.
I'm going to go pitch outside leg stump.
As a left-hander, no movement back in towards the left-handed batsman, and the length just looked too short for it to pitch in line. We will see, because Doug Milan has made the same assessment and has challenged umpire Jelly and sent it upstairs to umpire Holdstock in the third umpire's chair.
Could also be one of those umpires called pitching in line, which I can't really understand. It's either pitching in line or it's not.
Yeah, the ball, what, you've got to have just over half the ball, just over a third of the ball on the pitching on the tram line. Well, I guess if anything pitches on the tram line and the umpire's giving it out, that decision should stand. But the ball does just deck back in towards David Milan. But I still think that it's pitched outside. There's definitely no edge involved. The ball has hit David Milan a good 6 inches below the knee roll. There's no doubt that it would smash into the stumps. But here's the telling one. Yeah, it's one outside by 3 inches.
One
maybe
outside.
Two. But yeah, it's a poor decision from the standing umpire. And David Milan lives to fight another day.
Definitely my kind of umpire, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
giving me the benefit of the doubt.
County game. Pack your bags, you're on your way, David Milan. There's no coming back for that. But the DRS doing exactly what it's there to do. Clears up an obvious error from the umpire. And no harm is done. 45 for one, and Ngidi into Milan once more. This is wide of off stump, and Milan loves that. Absolutely loves that. He can put those away in his sleep through cover. It's a poor ball from Ngidi.
1-9-2 the target for England to win this series 3-0. Linda is in. Milan's down the pitch, pushing it back past the bowler. Goes past Joss Butler at the non-strikers, and they will take a single. That's the over completed with 5 singles for Linda. He's bowled 3 overs for 18. 61 for 1 are England after 7. So it's 131 runs from 78 balls the requirement. Cheers, just before you give us your thoughts on this, towards the end of the South African innings, we mentioned that the England analyst was putting messages up by using clipboards with numbers and letters on. Social media is full of this, asking a question. Is that in the spirit of the game? Because you remember years ago, Bob Woolmer tried an earpiece and there was an absolute outcry. So is that in the spirit of the game? And does Owen Morgan, a World Cup winning captain, really need messages being passed to him?
I have to say, I'm not a fan. And I just think it just states of guys just trying to get a little bit too clever and seeing what they can maybe possibly get away with. I'm not a fan of that. As you rightly said, Owen Morgan, what help does he need, really? He can see it from all out there. He's a very tactical captain anyway, and he's always thinking. I just think it sometimes it's the analyst, and he has to be seen to be doing something, and they're paying a wage, and it's like he's got a job out there, he's got to be seen to do something. He's most probably been away during lockdown thinking, what can I come up with? And this is what he's come up with. Foolishness.
Shamsi into the attack, fresh off the back of his T20 career best figures in international cricket, a 3 for 19 at Parl, and he starts with a perfectly respectable ball that David Milan has gone on the reverse and hit him through backward points away for 4 runs. So he starts with a boundary and England put 4 more to the total. 5 fours and 3 sixes for England in the power play. Linda then to bowl his final over of the evening. Butler is waiting, opening up his body to hit into the offside. Bavuma will field at short cover and there's no run. Linda with 0 for 18 so far. He's opened the bowling in all 3 games. Butler straight away goes on the reverse, and his weight almost drags him out of the crease. Quinton de Kock is waiting with the gloves by the stumps with ball in hand, just going, are you going to overbalance? Are you going to overbalance? I'll whip the bells off if you do. And Joss Butler is just able to keep his weight in the crease. And I tell you what, it was not by much. He managed to roll his foot back and get the studs over the line. Short, hammered into the offside on this occasion by Butler for a single Nokia Fields. England 70 for one.
I think only one stud was behind there, Macca, really, wasn't it? Again, it's those margins, isn't it? It's the difference.
The interesting thing is, I was reading that Linda, even for his province, doesn't normally open the bowling in T20s, but Quinton de Kock likes it as a theory, and so he's backed his man. Linda goes in. Oh, that's a glorious shot by David Milan. He's beaten the man at short cover, and Razzy van der Dussen, as good a form as he's in with the bat this evening, can't do anything with the field. That's a glorious shot by David Milan. It's away for four, 74 for one. Milan goes to 35 from 18 balls faced. So England are getting on for 20 runs in front. But that acceleration towards the end of the innings, they want to take out the equation. They don't want to rely on something similar. Shamsi in. That doesn't really turn. It's out there to be hit. And Joss Butler has drilled it straight to Razzy van der Dussen at short extra cover. That looked like it had four written all over it. And it goes down in the scorebook as a zero.
And he's got away with one there. As I said, rank long off again. He smashed it extremely hard. Van der Dussen all over it.
Final ball of the over. Butler plays gently into the onside. They take one. Bavuma will come off of the boundary, and they've seen his throw already recently, so they're not going to take that one on. Halfway mark is reached. 85 for one are England as we reach the halfway mark. 192 is the total they are chasing to win this game. You're listening to South Africa against England on TalkSport 2 with Sky Sports. You can watch every England test, ODI and T20 live and exclusive on their dedicated Sky Sports cricket channel. Well, taking wickets in T20 games is vital. It slows run rates. It means that batsmen aren't set, and we saw that with South Africa. When you get two men set, you give yourself a chance. And now they're seeing it being done to them. They've got to find a way of breaking this partnership, Alex Tudor, haven't they?
Yeah, they do. Both are very dangerous. As you say, Butler's just going about his business, just giving David Milan most of the strike because he's going nicely, as you say, you know, 44 off 23 deliveries faced. Just goes about his business extremely well, very well organised. He gives England that option at the top of the order, being left-handed. And he's batting extremely well. And as you say, as long as Butler's still there, always got a chance.
Lutho Sepamla on his way for his second over, the right arm seamer. And Joss Butler has just clattered this one straight. Well, I was about to say into the leg side, but it's over the leg side. Straight into the building site at Cow Corner. Welcome back to the bowling crease. Now go and fetch it, son. 91 for one.
And these players, they're experienced and they know their game. And what they do, they will target a bowler. And Sepamla, being young, not had a lot of experience in only his sixth game.
He hops back over and he's now walking in as Sepamla is on his way for the second ball. Butler's got into the leg side on this one. He's got some height on that one. He's got distance on that one. And that again would be a souvenir 12 rows back. Back-to-back sixes. 97 for one are England. Joss Butler is 35 from 26.
Ooh! On Sepamla, for me, not quite quick enough to be doing this. He's banged it in. Butler's waiting for it. It's just swiveled on his back foot. 80 metres, deep square leg. See you later. 12 off two. Good luck for the rest of the over. Still four deliveries to go.
Butler has decided he's going to use the boundary in the wind, and he's put this into the pavilion for another six. And Joss Butler goes to 48 from 30. Shamsi's gone for 23 runs now. England are ticking these off. It's 113 for one.
Yeah, he's feeling it. As Joss, he's in the mood.
Well, South Africa might have picked six bowlers in this game, but I don't think many of them will be wanting to bowl much at the moment with the way these two are playing. Shamsi in, left arm wrist spin. It's set tight to the leg stump. Butler is able to flick it down to Ngidi at short fine leg for just a single, which in some respects is a bit of a result, if we're being honest. 114 for one. Butler goes to 49. Little race between the two of them. Who can get to 50 first? Milan is the man on strike. And he's one shot away from it. 46 from 25 balls. Shamsi's in. Milan gives this some air over cover.
Beautiful shot from Milan, and there's no way that Faf du Plessis is going to get around and stop it. So David Milan will win the race to 50. He goes to 50 from 26 balls. England are 118 for one, and Milan and Butler are making this look almost easy at the moment here on TalkSport 2. Seven fours and a six as Shamsi comes in. Milan's gone into the leg side this time. He's gone underneath this one. Has he got enough? Yes, he has. So Pamela can't do anything about that. This over has gone 1-6, 1-4-6. Shamsi is racking up telephone numbers at the moment. And Milan's got 56 as England move to 124 for one.
Full toss again, this time down the leg side. And it's going to be signalled a wide by umpire Jelly. And so, therefore, there is no leadership. And I'm not blaming it on Quentin de Kock, but it just seems to me that he's got too much on his plate, and his personality is not suited to being the guy who gets hold of things in the middle for South Africa when it's required.
I just think, Butch, Faf du Plessis, Quentin de Kock, your senior players.
Ngidi, slow ball again, and it's just punched.
Just go and have a conversation with him. You know, just ask him his plans and stuff. And if you look at the way the first innings went, you had Morgan and you had Jordan, who's the senior bowler, going over to Sam Curran and having a discussion, where at the moment you can't see anybody doing that.
No, one run from the previous delivery, 143. But I mean, I guess that's my point. My point is that if Quentin isn't going to do that, then he can't be your captain. I mean, it's as simple as that. He's in your side, of course he is. He's your best batsman. You know, he's a wonderful, wonderful player, very talented behind the stumps. But is he a leader of men? I'm not sure that he is.
I don't think he exudes that. He looks like a captain where he doesn't say too much, but then when things are not quite going right, his body language is hands on hips. And it's, you know, when you've got a young and experienced bowler, they don't really need to see that. If you're upset, you can't show that. Because that's going to then filter into the bowlers. And it's nerve-wracking as it is when you're getting dispatched all parts, when you've got Butler and Milan going about their business. You need someone who's going to exude a little bit more confidence than what's going on at the minute.
Well, most definitely. And they, at the moment, if I was the bowler and I turn around and my captain is just standing there, not helping me, not a great body language that he's giving out, you just go, well, you know.
It slaps where the ball's going to all parts. The captain's looking for someone to step up. Nokia's only got one more over. It's like, well, who wants the bowl? The lads are like looking in the stands.
Everybody's hiding.
You know what I mean? You know, they do need a little bit more leadership for
me. The man with the ball in his hand is Tavares Shamsi, who drops one short. Josh Butler, his eyes look up into the heavens as though, I haven't got enough of it. Oh, yes, you have, Joss. Oh, yes, you have. That's another six over the head of Reeza Hendricks at deep mid-wicket. And the new bowler ends up with an old finish, really, in terms of this innings. The ball landing outside of the ropes for another maximum. I think that's going to be six. The ball was up there from Shamsi, and it's out of the ground once again. Onto another of these beautiful, lush grass banks here at Newlands. This time over long on, David Milan is just loving international cricket at the moment, because everyone's a coconut as it comes down the crease. It doesn't matter who bowls it, whether it's pace or spin, it is out of the park. 88 metres this time.
Linda with 0 for 18 so far. He's opened the bowling in all three games. Butler straight away goes on the reverse, and his weight almost drags him out of the crease. Quentin de Kock is waiting with the gloves by the stumps with ball in hand, just going, are you going to overbalance? Are you going to overbalance? I'll whip the bells off if you do. And Josh Butler is just able to keep his weight in the crease. And I tell you what, it was not by much. He managed to roll his foot back and get the studs over the line. Short, hammered into the offside on this occasion by Butler for a single Nokia Fields. England 70 for one.
I think only one stud was behind there, Macca, really, wasn't it? Again, it's those margins, isn't it? It's the difference.
The interesting thing is, I was reading that Linda, even for his province, doesn't normally open the bowling in T20s. But Quentin de Kock likes it as a theory, and so he's backed his man. Linda goes in. Oh, that's a glorious shot by David Milan. He's beaten the man at short cover, and Razzy van der Dussen, as good a form as he's in with the bat this evening, can't do anything with the field. That's a glorious shot by David Milan. It's away for four, 74 for one. Milan goes to 35 from 18 balls faced.
And that's the confidence that the young man's showing.
Pamela in to Milan, who's listening to the conversation, because he has bopped that over long on for six.
There's one.
Well, there's one of them.
You know what would be the thing now?
94 right. Now. 94 for David Milan. England need, what, six runs to win? And Milan needs six for 100.
You know what would be so arrogant now? He does it again. He doesn't even look at it anyway. He just puts the bat underneath his arm and just walks off. Or he does the drop, drops the bat. You know, like everyone, this drop the mic.
The mic drop.
Just
the
like a mic drop.
Yeah, just like, boom. I'm in this team, people. I ain't going anywhere.
I don't think knowing David Milan is the type of guy that will do the mic drop or the bat drop.
Oh, wide ball. That's a no big, ball. Big wide from Sir Pamela. He almost missed the cut strip. As you heard from Alfonso Thomas there, you missed the cut strip. It's now a no ball, not a wide. It's another rule that baffles me. But anyway, we'll move along from that. England need five from 16 deliveries. Dan Milan needs six to bring up what will be a second T20 international 100. So Pamela has already taken some stick. He's gone for 40. He's 2.2 overs so far. TalkSport listeners, welcome along. So Pamela is in, and Milan has just slapped it over extra cover for four. Scores are now level. It has been a quite brilliant innings from the number one T20 batsman in the world. He's 98 not out from just 46 balls. England have levelled up South Africa's 191 for three with 2.5 overs to spare. And David Milan needs two for a second T20 international 100.
Just phenomenal batting display, stroke making. At its best from David Milan. Not over try to hit, over hit things. Just good technique, good base, and just destroying the ball. He's striking at 213. That's Chris Gayle type figures.
Unbelievable.
And he's doing it effortlessly. Even.
So Pamela in, and Milan digs it out. It will be fielded at extra cover. There's been a fumble. There's a chance he can come back with two. But Josh Butler has run all the way through the crease. It's a low-key end to what has been anything but a low-key run chase from England. David Milan finishes 99 not out. England have chased down the target of 192 by 9 wickets for the loss of just Jason Roy. And South Africa look absolutely shell-shocked. They thought they were in business. They thought they were in the game at the halfway point, having posted 191 thanks to a superb stand of 127 for the fourth wicket between Faf du Plessis and Razzy van der Dussen. 74 from 32 from van der Dussen, 52 from 37 from Faf du Plessis. But it's about 25 to 30 runs too few, as England absolutely canter home thanks to Josh Butler and the hero of the hour and the best T20 player in the world right now, David Milan.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.